Broadcasting from the Golden Spread of Texas, this is The Fred Hughes Show. With each episode, we introduce to you an inspiring person or message to help you grow and unlock your potential in life. I'm Fred Hughes, professional photographer, pastor, teacher, author, and your show host. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to this episode brought to you by the Faithful Partners of Decision Ministry. Okay, well, hello. This is Fred Hughes with another Thursday edition of our live cast that we have going on here. Excited about tonight. Have Mr. John White with me tonight, and we're just going to have some fun and get into a little bit of word and do a little teaching and doing a little praying for you and do a little bit of everything. So before we get started, I just want to remind you that there are some good things available to you at our website. And that is Decision Ministries International. And you can find that on the web at www.thewordDecision1.org. Decision1.org. And you can go in and find videos, and I've got it labeled real simply, you know, watch, listen, read. So I have a little bit of everything on there, but it's a good place to go. We have a lot of great things there, and just something that will encourage you, and opportunities to chime in with us. You can download our newsletters. I don't get into that real deep, so you can just go to the website and download a copy of our newsletters. In fact, I just posted one the other day, so there's a fairly recent one that's been up. So the summer edition is available already. Go to the website, go to Wow Now. That's the last link on the menu up there. And that will get you right down at kind of at the bottom of that. You can click a little link to view or download that newsletter. So that way you can kind of keep up with us a little bit. Well, John, I'm excited about this evening. And,
yeah.
And hopefully we've got just all kinds of good things to get into.
Sure. Yes. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah.
This is the first time doing this, so this is exciting.
Awesome.
I wanted to talk about something that the Lord has shown me recently about speaking with authority. Speaking is something that we all do a lot of every day. And typically, at least most of the interactions that I have with folks, it seems like there's very little active thought and intention put into what most people say in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know that even just today, I had several interactions where several people, you know, at the office, they're joking and cutting up and not really thinking a whole lot about what they said. So something that the Lord showed me that I want to get into here is the importance of your words and how there's more than just there's more that happens with your words after you speak them. It's not as if they fall flat to the ground, dead and useless as soon as the sound of your words stop resonating in someone else's eardrums. If we were to look at Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I've heard this scripture used a lot in the context of, speaking positively or using it to encourage someone or lift them up, as is Ephesians 4:29. But I think that the actual real power of what Proverbs 18:21 holds goes beyond positive speaking and encouraging one another. And
Not that that's bad. No.
You should definitely strive for that. But there's more going on there. So what really brought this alive for me was looking at in Genesis, which is a great place to start.
Yeah.
Because it means beginnings. So in Genesis 1, verse 2, it says that the earth was without shape and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the watery deep. But the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, I've heard this since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But just a couple weeks ago, the reality of what that really means struck me. It's because the Lord, in his spiritual form, before the earth was created, before there was any light, spoke and light was created.
There you go.
And I thought it was real interesting that God actually spoke out loud to nobody to create. So I wanted to dig a little more into this. And the English word said is what most translations use for the Hebrew word that I'm probably going to butcher here, Amar. And I tracked down this word, and it's the same word that appears when God speaks to Adam and Eve. It's this word that is used when the snake spoke to Eve, when Adam named the animals, when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and again when he visited Moses on Mount Sinai. It's all this one word. So I know from in my logical mind that if Adam is naming animals where this word is used, he's speaking out loud. He's having a conversation. If Eve talks to a snake, or if God talks to Moses from a bush, you've got to be able to hear the words that are being spoken. Yet this is the same action of speaking that the Lord used before the earth was formed. And that really struck me. It was very interesting that God spoke from his Spirit and something happened. That something was the light was created. Which means that God spoke from his Spirit to impact and create the natural realm around us.
Yeah.
And that helped me realize that the spiritual realm is the parent of the physical realm that you and I are sitting in and right. interacting with each other in. And then I got to thinking, God probably could have thought light, or the whole world for that matter, into existence, but he specifically spoke it. And Jesus also, like his Father, did a lot of speaking when he was here on the earth. He spoke to demons to cast them out. He spoke to the tree and told it to wither up and die. And he spoke to the storm to cease and be still. And I don't think that he spoke those words merely for the benefit of the human ears around him. I mean, obviously they learned from him, but I think that there's more
several
to
places it says they obeyed him, like the storm obeyed him. And so that's it was
you have to have a command in order to obey.
Command going on there.
Yeah.
It was spoken out loud as a command.
Exactly. So I decided to look into several examples of the New Testament where Jesus speaks. And I've mentioned some of them specifically, but or generally generically just now, but Mark 1, verses 21 through 24 is where Jesus comes into the synagogue in Capernaum, and he wows everybody because he's teaching, but not only teaching, he's teaching with authority. And this really upset the evil spirits and one of the guys there. And he starts running up to him and says, leave us alone. And the word that's used in the Greek is pronounced lego, or at least that's what it looks like to me. There's probably a more proper pronunciation, but that's what I'm going to go with. This Texas boy is going to say is going to say Lego. So Jesus rebuked him and turned around and said, be quiet, was the first thing he said. And then he told the demon to come out of the man. And I noted in my Bible that my translation, this ends with an exclamation point. This wasn't just a suggestion. This was an imperative command.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So I looked into Lego a little bit and found out that that word doesn't specifically refer to the exact words used to convey the meaning of the message.
No.
It puts more emphasis on the substance of what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little eye-opening. That's something that's lost just at face value in English.
Well, and we call the written word the logos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same word or derivative. So it's the written, refers to a written down word, something that has enough weight to it, it needs to be written.
Okay.
And so whenever you step into that, well, then it says that connotates, here's an authoritative word that is spoken.
Sure.
Worthy of writing down or recording.
Yeah. That's interesting. I also noticed in Mark 4, verses 39 through 40, that the word spoke is epo, which is the past tense of lego. Mm-hmm. When Jesus speaks to the sea and then asks the storm on the sea and asks the disciples why they are being fearful and not addressing the situation that they are in with faith. And this was a good example that you cannot speak from the power of the spiritual realm without faith.
And, you know, you go back to one of the first things you were saying about God spoke
mm-hmm.
out loud to nobody.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're praying to God, you're doing exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of faith, because why would you do that if you didn't believe there was a God out there hearing you?
Right. Yeah. Yes. So you got me to thinking, what's the difference between, you know, what we say every day yeah. and what did Jesus and his father say? How should we be speaking? And the first thing that's pretty obvious is that we need to be speaking the word. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, he refuted the devil by responding with scripture. He had the word of God, which carries God's authority, hidden in his heart from growing up and memorizing, you know, as a Jewish boy. He had to read that stuff and memorize it. But it was interesting that the very first thing that he used when the devil came at him was Deuteronomy 8:3, where he says that man can't survive on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so I decided to look into that a little more and realized that Deuteronomy 8 comes after the story where the Israelites have been delivered out of Egypt. They're wandering through the desert, and they needed to be taken down a couple notches and humbled. So God started taking away food sources, which would humble me real quick.
Yeah, okay. He has a way of doing that.
And it forced their attention to the fact that man isn't just a man in a physical body, but there's the spiritual aspect mm-hmm. that thrives on the words that come from the mouth of God. And so it's important to speak the word of God, and it's important to speak the word of God with faith. We need to be speaking faith-filled words. If we were to look at how Jesus imitated the Father, we see that he also spoke faith-filled words. Ephesians 5 tells us to be imitators of God as children imitate their parents. And yeah. I have 3 kids, and they're all boys, and they all imitate me.
And they're cute little rascals. I'll tell you what they are. They're precious.
But one of the things that they imitate me the most in is what I say, yeah. what I speak.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it's a nice little reminder that God built into parenting to be mindful of what you say.
Isn't that true? There was a little book I read a long time ago called Hung by the Tongue. And raising kids, you kind of feel like you've just been hung by,
yeah.
by your own tongue every once in a while.
Yeah.
You hear them mimic some of that back. You know? But faith comes by hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that he didn't say anything except for what he hears the Father say.
Right.
And so that's the powerful thing, is that if we're talking God talk, if we're talking, speaking the word of God, then the things that are coming out of our mouth are way more powerful than what we have.
Yes, because they carry the Lord's authority.
They carry that authority.
And you hit it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, and you can't hear anything unless it's been spoken. So you, it, it's a, it, it, it's a built-in instruction to be speaking faith so that you can hear faith, exactly. Be speaking faith to one another, be speaking faith to yourself.
The interesting thing about the Word of God is that it was first spoken so that it could be written. God had to speak it. Somebody had to write it down. It was written so that it could be spoken.
Yeah, that's good.
It's
like
a little
that.
Loop, but it's,
sure.
It's the truth. God spoke it. We wrote it down. And now then we can speak the same thing God said. We can say the same thing God said because somebody wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now then we can emulate.
I think it's
parrot, just like
yes.
The fathering thing you're talking about.
I think it's important to note that yeah. It was spoken first.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably some importance to that. Yeah.
In the beginning.
Exactly. And then I also realized that if you're going to be speaking the word and you're going to be speaking the word through faith, you're going to be if you are reading the word and being receptive of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, you almost have no choice but to be speaking from a place of authority. And that authority comes from being in Jesus. It says in Ephesians 2:6 that by grace we've been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then, of course, in Matthew 28, and the Great Commission was when Jesus said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, do these things for me that I've given you to do. That was a transaction where authority was passed on mm-hmm. to us, to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. You talked about preaching the gospel, so that means that we're supposed to go and we're supposed to say something.
Yeah.
And not only that, but not just say something, but demonstrate what we just said.
Exactly.
Because that's powerful. You can't have a demonstration of something if you don't ever say it. If you don't ever articulate it through words, then when it manifests, nobody would know that the two related.
Sure.
It would be verifying the word. And so that's wrapped up in that Great Commission that I sent them out two by two. And they had the power, he gave them the power. This is pre-Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
before Pentecost came.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave them power to speak the word. They come by hearing by the word of God. That whenever they preached the gospel, then faith would rise up in people, and then they would perform miracles
mm-hmm.
because the faith would be there.
Yeah.
Because of the word.
That's good.
It's powerful.
I need to think about that for a while, just kind of let that marinate. I think that'd be good. I'm gonna do that. So I'm also drawn to Luke 10:19, mm-hmm. where the Lord says that he's given us authority to trample scorpions and on the heads of snakes, which is a very impactful sentence for me, because I absolutely abhor anything that slithers.
Yeah.
So I can get on board with that. But the best part is it doesn't stop there. It says, I've given you authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and over all the power of the enemy.
That's right.
So that nothing will by any means harm you.
And that's whenever he sent out and commissioned the 12 and then later the 70. He said exactly the same thing. He said he gave them power over all the works of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were given the authority by his word over that realm. And so that's what we have. You don't even need Pentecost. Once you get born again, you have all the authority over the enemy.
Yeah.
It says cast out devils and heal the sick.
Mm-hmm. That's raise
another,
the dead.
That's another thing. You speak and believe and demonstrate. Mm-hmm. It's not, it doesn't take any, hocus pocus. Mm-hmm. It takes a word.
Right.
In fact, the example that comes to mind right off is the centurion that says, you don't even need to come to my house, just speak the word.
Because he understood authority.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Big time.
So I realize that what it's saying in Luke 10:19 there is that we've been given authority in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And God gave man dominion in the physical realm back in the beginning.
That's right.
So I don't see any way that you can't walk across the earth through life without impacting everything around you. If you're fully walking in the gifts and the Lord has given you.
You believe in what the word says. Who it says you are, then you should be walking in some authority and power.
And it starts with speaking.
That's right.
So I wanted to look up some examples about how to do this properly. And Proverbs was a wonderful place to start. And by contrast, I was drawn to several things several examples of what not to do to begin with. Proverbs 13 says that the one who guards his mouth protects his life. And the one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Mm-hmm. So be thinking about what you speak.
Yes.
And then you can build on that with Matthew 12:33-37. Of course, he's getting on to some Pharisees there and causing a pit of vipers. Again, here comes the snakes.
This is a snaky thing.
How are you able to say anything good since you're evil? For the mouth speaks from what fills the heart. The mouth speaks from what fills the heart. The good person brings good things out of his good treasury, and the evil person brings evil things out of his evil treasury. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every worthless word they speak. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned.
I like what the Greek says, and it says that that translation says worthless word.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says unemployed word.
Oh, wow.
And it said, in other words, it's a word spoken, but it's not employed to do anything. It's just dead. It's useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's unemployed.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
That is good.
Oh, that's powerful.
I like that.
So before we speak, we need to employ that word to go and do something, because it says that the word of God went out to accomplish what it was sent to do.
Mm-hmm.
So God employed the word and then sent it out. And we should have to do the same thing, because we're made in his image and given the same power in our voices to act like him.
Yeah, I skipped over that. God, skipping back to the very beginning, rewinding a little bit, God was in the hovering over the waters, his spirit, and spoke. And we are made in his image. We are made to be his official image bearers on the earth. Mm-hmm. And as we've just discussed here, if you're believing and walking in faith, you've got the ability to impact the world around you.
Right.
And the spiritual realm around you.
Isn't that good? That's awesome.
So I'm just starting to learn how much authority I have in the spiritual realm. Yeah. And exercising
it. Christians do not have a clue. Honestly, they don't.
Yeah.
They have no idea what power we possess. In fact, I was not too long ago, I was listening to a guy that came out of the occult realm.
Okay.
And he literally said, if Christians had any idea the kind of power they had, they would blow us out of the water.
Wow.
He had converted, but he said, you know, back in the day when we were doing all this stuff, I mean, we did all kinds of stuff to have just a little bit of power. And a Christian to come along and actually accidentally do more damage than we could do in 6 months. You know.
Wow.
Thank God. He said, thank the devil they don't know what they're doing. I'm going, man, that's a condemnation that we shouldn't possess there.
But yeah.
It's not funny.
My goodness. So, this has been really eye-opening to see that it's impossible for you and I to communicate without inflicting our God-given dominion on the natural realm around us.
Yes, sir.
Even now, I'm speaking, and there's a microphone picking up the vibrations of the air that's translating that into electrical pulses, which are being translated into light pulses, into RF energy that's going out around the world, which swoops through the air, mm-hmm. Swims through the air, and then it's going to be converted back into light and sound to move the molecules to excite someone's eardrums or to bounce off the insides of their retinas. And it's really interesting to stop and think about how we are utilizing right now all the physics that God created.
Yeah.
But that just exists in the natural realm. That's something that I can understand with my technologically inclined mind.
Yeah, by the way, audience, this is an IT guy. he's very technical for sure.
Yeah. So just to think about that is almost mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But then that pales in comparison to the authority and the power of the words in the spiritual realm. And so I'm just, like I said, just beginning to learn how important this is and how powerful it is.
Yeah. There was one of the things that I heard a long time ago, but it said, it's predicted that if you could travel faster than the speed of light and you got out in front of the creation that's still going on, because God said, let there be light, and he didn't ever say stop.
For it to cease, yeah.
And so technically, if you got out in front of the word as it travels and doing the creating light, and you would hear way out there, let there be light. The whole place would light up, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can really kind of get to spinning off into some hypotheticals that are interesting. And one of these days, we'll get to know face to face instead of the.
If you enjoyed the show today, be sure and get the download and the show notes that we have available for you. If you agree that this is place to be, invite your friends. Use those little buttons to connect us to your Facebook friends and others. If you have not subscribed, do it today. Check out our free downloads. This is the Fred Hughes Show signing off.
What's more important than that is the authority that our words carry through Christ in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. When we pair our speech with God's word, which, as you said, carries its authority, mm-hmm. God's word carries its own authority, and then that's not going to return to him void.
Yeah.
So if we pair our words out of our mouth, inflicting our surroundings with the word, maybe inflicting is not the right word, but it's definitely imposing.
Yeah.
And we pair that with the word of God, mm-hmm. that has its own authority. That's a dynamic duo. Those are the keys to a nuclear weapon in the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. that, like I said, I'm just starting to understand.
Yeah.
And use.
You know, one of the things about the Word of God that fascinating to me is, it's like this was written, you know, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who is present with us now.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Jesus was walking the earth, well, it was Emmanuel, God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to hear his voice because you really couldn't hear the voice of the Lord at that moment, because Jesus went away, says, and he sent his voice, his spirit back to indwell us.
Yeah.
Now then, it's not God with us, not Emmanuel, it's God in us. And now then, from within, we hear the voice of the Lord. And so it's a lot of people are trying to get a word, you know, from something, somewhere.
Yeah.
But they're not listening to the voice of the Lord, which comes actually from inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear the word, we need to read the word. What it does is, this is the Logos word, the written word. If we read it, it'll stir up the Ramos, the word, which is in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we will hear it with our spirit, not our ears, but our spirit, because our spirit has ears as well, spiritual ears.
Yes.
So not only can we get meaningful input from the Logos word, And even Jesus himself trained himself in this word.
Yeah.
Because when he got tempted, he quoted this. Mm-hmm. That's really fascinating to me because it's the rhema word, the living word, quoting the written word.
That goes back to the loop you talked about earlier. Yeah.
I just love that part, man. I was just going like, oh, wow, this is something else. But when you read the written word of God, it does well up something to you. And it's not complete because it can't really get down real personal. I mean, it can give you general things, mm-hmm. but it can say, I want you blessed. And so you can go out and get a job and be blessed. But what you do with that, who you marry, what job you're going to have coming up next. Now you need that inner voice.
Yes.
You need the revelatory voice, yeah. that is spurred on by this. And this creates that faith that you need, mm-hmm. that wells up in you and starts bringing what's inside out of your mouth.
Yes.
And that's what produces in turn what you need.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So
that's powerful.
Yes. And everything in there will filter through the filter of Philippians 4:8, mm-hmm. yeah. which tells us what not to spend our time, mm-hmm. our eyes, and our mouths mm-hmm. ingesting.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So
whatsoever's good, whatsoever
holy and pure and uplifting and righteous and good. Yeah.
Think on these things. That's good. Yeah. Well, because what you think about, that's what you're going to start
exactly.
saying, you know?
Yeah.
And I like, I have this little, like, I think I've shared it more than everywhere I go, but I love it because it talks about, you know, the word is a seed.
Yeah.
And we didn't really touch on that very much, but the word is a seed. It has the potential like a seed. And when it's sown into a heart, then it produces something. Mm-hmm. And so all those idle words we talked about earlier, you know,
yeah.
if you're planting those kind of words, I like to, you know, like for a little kid and they find a little dandelion somewhere and they love to blow that thing and watch a little thing fly all over.
Right.
It just makes them happy and it's just real cool and they're blitz about the whole thing, you know. Poor old Pop sitting over there going like, I just weeded all that out of my yard.
Another 2,000 weeds I'm going to have to go take care of.
He knows the end of the thing. And so a lot of times we kind of need to pray that, you know, there's some holy herbicide somewhere that we can spray on some of the stuff we've said.
Yeah.
But it causes us to be a little bit more careful with what we say, because what we say is powerful. Mm-hmm. We have no idea the power that God has placed in our voice, in our mouth. So.
Yeah, that brings to mind some word seeds that I planted in my own life. I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. I've been dealing with really bad acid reflux and heartburn.
Oh, yeah.
And I began to confess daily out of my mouth that I was healed.
There you go.
Based on Isaiah 53, absolutely. 1 Peter 2:24. Those are promises that tell me that I was healed when Jesus took care of sickness.
That's right. And you got it.
Yeah, I just got to claim it.
Appreciate it.
And my path to claiming it was very, very eye-opening for me because I had to speak it every day.
Yeah.
But was over the course of 5 to 6 weeks, I went from having really, really bad acid reflux, having to take something daily to deal with that, to the point that I just went and had some pretty spicy Asian food for lunch today,
hey.
And it hadn't bothered me at all. And I've not had anything for reflux and for over 3 months now at this point. And I am still every day confessing, thank you, Father, for the healing that you have given me, that I am healed.
Mm-hmm.
And now that reticule has moved from heartburn to some other areas that I'm zooming in on and focusing on through faith.
Once he proves himself truthful in one area, now that we can put that and apply it in some other areas, you know, and grow in the grace that he wants us to grow up in and discover more and more how powerful those words that he gives us and the promises that he gives us are.
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah. Yeah, what a good testimony, though. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Right. Yeah, I broke my foot this week, and we were kind of concerned that it may have had to get some surgery done. So we were praying about, you know, not having to do that, that it alignment would come back. Mm-hmm. We had a word, and Irene had gotten a word from Ezekiel where it says, talking about the bones coming together,
yeah,
and sinews wrapping around and, you know, alignment coming back. And so we've been praying over that, and she's been laying her hands on my foot. We walked into the doctor's office and they did the MRIs and all of that, you know, and he came back and he said, you know, you busted up pretty good, but I believe it'll heal on its own. I'm just going to put you in a boot.
Awesome.
Let's come back in 6 weeks. I'm going, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
So a lot of what we say and confess, it really kind of goes back to those words. And so mm-hmm. I think your word for tonight is very powerful because that we really don't know how powerful our words are.
Yeah.
And how important it is for us to say and therefore believe the right things. And if we base everything off this word, we're going
can't
to
go get wrong.
The benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
So oh, that's awesome. That is totally awesome. Wow.
I've got a lot more notes, and I could way overcomplicate this, but I don't think that there's, I don't know that there's much more. I don't want to make it much more complicated than it is.
No, that's a good thing about this simple show. We just go until you're done, you know.
Okay.
Some of my guys have to go for an hour, you know? some 30 minutes. I don't care. It's just as long as, you know,
well,
it take that long to get a good word in, and you've gotten a good word in already.
Then I'm just gonna,
keep going if you want.
I'm going to mention one more thing. It doesn't necessarily have to stop with what you say, with what you speak. I think that all of the concepts that we've applied tonight can be upgraded and kicked into overdrive if you were to apply them through praise and worship, through the power of the weapon of praise,
yeah,
of praising the Lord. And I think that's something that I'm going to do. I'm going to try to dive into more in the future to understand. But there is power, because when I was dealing with the reflux, I was having to, my physical body was afflicted by it, and it had no problem reminding me of that, but it was a bit of a twist of the mind to get to the point that I could say, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, yeah, because I am healed.
Yeah.
And not just saying it to check a box, but to actually get it into my mind. I thank you for the salvation and for the sacrifice that your son made on the cross for me, yeah, for me to be healed. And there was one day I was driving down the road, and it just kind of clicked. I do a lot of praying and a lot of praising on the road by myself, because I can be loud and I can be a little crazy, and I can take authority. And yeah, the only thing that happens is somebody else at the stoplight may look at me a little funny, but you know, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I was driving along one day, and I thought, okay, I'm going to get back into the habit of praising the Lord. And then something in my spirit just clicked, and I don't remember where I was driving or how long it took, because the car ride was over too soon. I wasn't done praising, but I just got after it and released the praise with faith. And that it wasn't long after that that the reflux issue really came to an end physically. So
this says, the word says that the prayer of a righteous man, a man that's made right by Jesus, not made right in his own
mm-hmm.
righteousness, but in Jesus's righteousness. So the prayer of a righteous man avails much. That word avail just means to prevail over.
I like that.
It's foreign.
Yeah.
So whenever we begin to profess praise to our God, it edifies him, it edifies us, and it just brings the glory into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And he never misses the the opportunity to respond to that ever.
No.
And that's how glory shows up now in the now. And you start worshiping him and praising him, praising a God you can't see.
Yeah.
But you speak with his own voice coming through your spirit.
Mm.
If you pray in the spirit, it exemplifies that. It builds you up in your most holy faith, it says.
It does.
It's awesome.
It does. Days that I'm feeling down and discouraged, I'm praying in the spirit out loud.
Yeah.
That does something.
It does.
It kicks it into overdrive and buffs up my spirit.
Yeah. And you sit there thinking, like you started with the very first thing, God was speaking to nobody, into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pray in the spirit, you come in.
To your mind, it definitely does. Yeah.
But in actuality, you're speaking to the one true God. He's out there. And then you can't do that if you're not doing it in faith.
No.
Because it really is just gibberish if you're not doing it in faith.
Right.
So it's awesome.
It is. I think that's about it.
That's cool. I think we've covered some good stuff. I'll tell you what, we really never did. I usually get the guy that we're talking to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh.
And so tell us what you do.
Okay. I am a techno geeky nerd.
Yeah.
I'm an IT network engineer.
Network engineer.
And I wrangle servers and keep bad guys out of the network and keep the diesel generator running to keep the servers on when the power goes out and make sure that the air conditioner. I work for a company that has a data center in downtown Amarillo. So I get to wrangle all that. And and so I enjoy putzing about with tinkering with things. And my I've got three kids. My oldest called me today. He had a little toy, a mechanical toy that had stopped working.
Oh, wow.
And so he decided to, after changing the batteries when that didn't work, he decided to take it apart to figure out what was wrong with it. And so on the phone, he started describing to me everything that was going on. And I just got so excited because I get to go home tonight and help diagram a circuit with my 8-year-old son to troubleshoot what's wrong with this little.
Yeah, I can see you and him and an appy pie coming together.
The ironic thing is that I don't like this toy. It's noisy and annoying, but it's a good learning opportunity. So, I'm learning how to raise three boys out in the country. We've got a few acres, and we're I don't know, that doing the homesteader thing, as they say.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just look out here. We've got a number that, you may have heard us talking about Jesus and about some of the things that's going on. And maybe you've not really ever talked to God. Maybe you don't know how to talk to God or didn't know you could. And we have a prayer line. I'm going to put that up in just a second, but you can call in tonight. That's a way that we can kind of touch base together. But we have people standing by, and they will answer the phone. If you need a Spanish speaker, they're available. Or if you'd rather do English, there are people that can speak English or Spanish, either one. They'd be glad to pray with you and help you with. If you need to be born again, well, then you they can help you with that. If you need to learn how to do this praying in the spirit we talked about, they can help you get filled with the Holy Spirit and learn how to bring that second language up and out. And so they're powerful people, so give them a call. Let me just put that number up. Right quick, it's prayer lines. 806 is the area code. It's a U.S. number, so if you're watching from a foreign distance, we have several that do watch that are outside of the country. This, unfortunately, that line won't work for you. But if in the U.S., they will that you can call that number, and they will get a hold of somebody that can help you. So take advantage of that if you would, and if you would, pray for the group here.
All right.
Just bless them we'll wrap this up.
Your Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to have a good conversation, fellowship with Fred, bragging on you, and learning about you, your character, and the power of words and the authority that you have given us as your children. Lord, I ask that you would minister to everyone that's watching and help them to gain a new revelation, a new understanding of what it means to speak as you spoke and to imitate you, and give us the check in our spirits when we need to be mindful of what we're saying and to bring every word into account. And Father, thank you for this opportunity. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. Listen, let me just wrap this up with just saying that we want you to come back this next week. And if you would, we have those little bells, like us, share us, do whatever that helps us to kind of get the word of God out just a little bit more. And so those things are kind of dorky little deals, but they do increase the viewership. And so we appreciate it when you do those things. Next week, we're going to have a guy named Brent Capriel. He's been here before, but he just got back off of kind of a long trip, and he has lots of testimonies that he's going to share with you next week. It's going to be an exciting time. The week after that, there's a guy that's, his name is Chris Clark, and he is a man of God. I mean, tell you, he just lights up the room when he comes in. You're going to like Chris a lot. It'd be his first time to be with me, and so I'm looking forward to that. And then after that, we've got a couple that are very dynamic, Todd and Michelle McDaniel from over in, trying to remember where, not Dimmitt, but yeah, I think it's Dimmitt, yeah. And so they're part of our group that meets over at Hereford that I mention quite often. And so they're a dynamic couple, full of the Holy Ghost, and they'll preach to you. I mean, I guarantee you, between the two of them, they'll bounce you off the wall. So we're just looking forward. We have a great lineup coming down the road. So I'm kind of stretching out there a little further just to kind of tease you. And I think after that, my brother and sister-in-law are going down to take a mission trip, and they're going to be back, and they're going to share the week after that. And so, boy, we've got a great lineup coming up. Don't miss our Thursday meetings here. You'll just be blessed if you hang with us. So tell your friends about it, share us, do those little things. And we just speak blessings over you, and we'll see you again next week. God bless you.